Welcome to Counting Sheep Podcast. Today, we present a unique tale created with the Counting Sheep app, where your stories come to life with just a few taps. Find Counting Sheep on the iPhone App Store and start your own storytelling journey. Unlock your creativity and let the storytelling begin.
Silent Tide. Chapter 1, The Letter. Harold Finch woke up to the soft sound of waves gently lapping against the shore just beyond his window. He poured himself a cup of coffee, savoring the aroma, and settled into his old wicker chair on the porch. The sea stretched out endlessly before him, a picture of peace and calm. Life in Bayhaven suited him. After years of chasing criminals through the gritty streets of the city, he relished the stillness. The routine of his morning was comforting. The postman Ted approached on his bicycle, ringing a rusty bell that had seen better days. Harold waved as Ted dismounted with a handful of envelopes. "Morning, Harold," Ted greeted him with a toothy smile. "Morning, Ted. Anything interesting today?" Harold asked, knowing the answer would almost certainly be no. "Not much. Usual bills and junk. Oh, and there's this one. No return address." Harold took the letters, his fingers brushing against a strange thickness in one of the envelopes. It was pale blue and had a rugged texture to it. "Thanks, Ted," he said, though the postman had already set off down the winding path. He returned to his chair and examined the envelope more closely. There was no stamp, no markings, just his name typed in small black letters. As he tore it open, a photograph fell into his lap. He picked it up, an old black-and-white image of a young woman with hauntingly familiar eyes. His gaze shifted to the note inside the envelope. The typed letters seemed menacingly precise. "Find her before it's too late." Harold's heart pounded. Who was she? Why was this sent to him? He grabbed his coat and headed straight to the town library. Alice McGraw, the librarian, had been a good friend since his arrival in Bayhaven. If anyone could dig up some information, it was Alice. He found her in her usual spot, a dimly lit corner behind the front desk where stacks of books towered around her. "Alice," Harold said, startling her. "Harold, you look like you've seen a ghost," she replied, squinting at him through her reading glasses. "I might need you to find one for me," he said, handing her the photograph and the note. Alice's eyebrows knit together as she studied them. "Where did you get this?" "It came in the mail this morning. No return address." Alice turned the photograph over, seeking any hidden clues. "The library archives might have something. Let me check." While Alice disappeared into the depths of the library, Harold waited, his mind racing through fragmented thoughts and half-formed theories. Who would send this to him? And why now? He had sworn off the life of a detective, but something about this felt too personal to ignore. Alice returned with a dusty album. "This photograph isn't part of our archives, but there's a mention of a young woman missing in a police report from 30 years ago. Her name was Rebecca Sullivan. No conclusion on her case." "Rebecca Sullivan," Harold repeated. The name was unfamiliar, yet he felt a tug at his consciousness as if pulling at a buried memory. He knew the next step had to be his old friend, Detective Jake Thompson. They had shared many cases, good and bad, and if anyone could help him, it was Jake. Harold dialed Jake's number as he left the library, the sun already beginning to set. "Thompson," came the gruff voice on the other end of the line. "Jake, it's Harold. I need your help." "Finch, thought you were done with all that." "So did I. It's urgent. Meet me at O'Malley's pub." Jake's curiosity was palpable even over the phone. "I'll be there." Harold pushed through the creaky door of O'Malley's pub, his senses overwhelmed by the familiar blend of spilled ale and fried food. Jake was at their usual table, a pint already in hand. "Harold," Jake said, eyes sharp, "what's pulling you back into the game?" Harold slid into the seat across from him and handed over the photograph and note. Jake leaned in, his expression turning from curiosity to concern. "Rebecca Sullivan," Jake murmured. "I remember that case. Never solved. Why dig it up now?" "Someone wants me to find her," Harold said, "and I don't think we have much time." Jake's eyes scanned the pub before focusing back on Harold. "You have any leads?" "Nothing concrete. Alice did find a police report from 30 years ago, but it doesn't reveal much." "We should start at the beginning, go over her case files," Jake suggested, finishing his drink. "Let's head to the precinct," Harold replied, feeling the old fire rekindling inside him. Together, they left O'Malley's pub, the air crisp with a sense of impending turmoil. As they walked towards the precinct, Harold couldn't shake the feeling that this was only the beginning of something far more sinister. Chapter 2. The Trail. The stale air inside the old private investigator's office felt thick with forgotten histories. Dust-mired files cluttered the room, each one demanding its touch of care, a likely maze hiding the truth. Harold pulled on a pair of latex gloves, the snap of the material breaking the silence. He rummaged through manila folders, their labeled tabs offering no promise of anything useful. "Are we getting anywhere?" Jake's voice had taken on that edge of impatience inherent to cynical detectives. He stood by the door, every nerve on alert. Harold paused. "It takes time, Jake. Patience, remember?" Jake scoffed but moved further into the room. "We don't have the luxury of time, Harold. Whoever sent that letter isn't playing around." Harold nodded. Underneath the layers of age-old grime and yellowed papers, there was intent. The bitterness of past failures and unresolved mysteries felt like a tangible stain. But amidst the dust, he found a photograph taped to the underside of a drawer, a trick veteran private eyes knew well. It was another image of Rebecca, slightly different from the one in the letter, but still unmistakable. "Got something," Harold muttered, showing it to Jake. Jake leaned closer, eyes scanning the photograph. "Where is that?" Judging by the background, it appeared to be taken at an abandoned warehouse. Harold's investigative instincts buzzed. "There's an old warehouse near the market square. It's worth a look." Later, the warehouse loomed before them, a hollowed-out relic of Bayhaven's industrial past. Rusted beams and broken windows told tales of forsaken commerce, begging questions they didn't yet know how to answer. Jake drew his flashlight, the beam cutting through the dusty murk. "Creepy place." "Let's hope it's worth the chills," Harold replied, pushing the door open with cautious care. Inside, the warehouse was a tangle of shadows and broken machinery. The laughter of gulls outside was a grim reminder of the world that buzzed on, blissfully ignorant of the decayed secrets this place held. Harold held the new photograph next to his flashlight, scanning for any recognizable landmarks. Then he saw it. A chipped, old sign in the corner they matched perfectly. "This way," he whispered, moving forward. They wove through dilapidated corridors and heaps of rubble. A metallic clank echoed through the space, putting both men on edge. Neither spoke. They knew better than to alert any possible listeners lurking in the dark. Jake shifted his weight, gun drawn. "We're not alone." Harold nodded, feeling the adrenaline course through him. The silence broke with hurried footsteps, a moment before the ambush. Jake swung his flashlight, the beam catching a glimpse of movement before everything went dark again. "Trap!" Harold yelled, lunging towards cover as a pipe swung just past his head. Jake fired a warning shot, the bullet sparking against metal. Whoever attacked melted into the remains of the warehouse, a wraith blending with its decaying structure. Harold regained his footing, heart pounding, eyes alert. "They know we're here," Jake said through gritted teeth. "But why?" Harold wondered aloud. "What are they hiding?" Suddenly, Harold's eye caught something beneath a pile of broken crates, an old ledger covered in grease and grime. He seized it, flipping to the first page. The index was a chaotic scrawl of names, dates, and locations. Next to Rebecca's name, a red X stood ominously. Before they could decipher more, a low growl audible only to trained ears crept into the confines of the warehouse. "Time to go," Jake hissed, and Harold couldn't agree more. They bolted out, the patter of steps behind them growing fainter until the safety of daylight wrapped around them. With burning lungs and racing pulses, they stopped on the cracked pavement outside. "What the hell was that?" Harold demanded, scanning their surroundings. "Trouble, Harold." "That's what it was," Jake replied, holstering his gun. Harold exhaled heavily, running a hand over the grime-smeared ledger. Questions itched at his mind, weaving into unsettling patterns. Who had this book belonged to? Why was Rebecca's name marked? "Let's get back to my place," Harold said. "I need to take a closer look at this." Jake nodded silently. Both men knew that by nightfall, they'd be deeper down the rabbit hole. The stakes had risen, mercilessly, and the hints of danger trailing them only ensured they wouldn't emerge unscathed. Chapter 3. The Confrontation. Harold stared at the ledger. "Jake, these entries, some of them are recent. Rebecca's not the only one." He looked up, meeting Jake's eyes, which were full of concern and a hint of fear. Jake winced, pressing a hand to his side where he'd taken a hit earlier at the warehouse. We need to move fast, Harold. If there's even a chance of finding these women, we can't waste any more time. Alice called just then. Harold, you need to come to the library. I found something about a bunker near the cliffs. It's dangerous territory. Harold hung up, turning to Jake. Alice found something. We head out now. The road to the cliffs was treacherous in the darkening evening. Harold's mind raced as he drove, filled with the thought of what they might uncover. The cliffs loomed in the distance, jagged and menacing against the dusky sky. They reached the edge of the cliffs and began the difficult hike down. Through the dense brush and sharp rocks, they found a half-hidden path leading to a rusted metal door embedded in stone. "Help me with this," Harold grunted, pushing against the door with all his might. It scraped open with an ear-splitting creak, revealing a dim-lit interior. Inside, the bunker was a maze of corridors and rooms, filled with a damp smell and eerie silence. They moved cautiously, their footsteps echoing off the concrete walls. "Do you hear that?" Jake whispered, stopping short. Harold strained to listen. Faint voices. Possibly. Whimpering? His heart pounded. "Let's go." They followed the sound, moving deeper into the labyrinth. They found a small group of women, including Rebecca, huddled in a corner, shackled but alive. "Rebecca?" Harold said softly, approaching her. She looked up, eyes wide with fear, but recognition dawned. "You're Harold Finch, Emily's brother," she whispered, a tear slipping down her cheek. It all clicked. Emily had vanished around the same time Rebecca had, but there had been no correlation made until now. Suddenly, a figure stepped into the light, clapping slowly. Harold Finch, persistent as ever, should have stayed retired. The man from the warehouse, tall, dark, and grinning maniacally. "Jackson," Jake spat, rage boiling over in his eyes. Jackson laughed. "This is bigger than the two of you can handle. These women, they're just the beginning." Harold's mind raced. No time for hesitation. He lunged, grabbing Jackson by the collar, slamming him against the wall. "What do you want with them? Why Rebecca? Why any of them?" Jackson sneered. "Control, power. Isn't it always the same story? People are so easy to break." Jake shoved his weapon into Jackson's face. "Shut it, you're coming with us." Just then Jackson twisted, pulling a hidden knife, slicing Jake's arm. Jake growled in pain but didn't let go of his grip. Blood streamed down his arm. In the frenzy, Harold spotted keys on Jackson's belt. With one swift move, he snatched them and tossed them to Rebecca. "Free the others. Go!" Rebecca fumbled, hands shaking, but managed to unlock the chains. The women stumbled to their feet, looking to Harold for guidance. Harold turned back, helping Jake subdue Jackson, delivering a punch that knocked him out cold. They bound him with the same chains that once held the women. Rebecca and the other captives huddled together, murmuring thanks through tears. Harold helped them to their feet, navigating the maze of corridors back to the bunker's entrance. As they emerged into the cool night air, the dawn just beginning to streak the horizon, the tension started to ease. Rebecca clung to Harold. "Emily, is she?" "We'll find her," Harold promised. "We'll find them all." Jake radioed for backup, securing Jackson in the meantime. Sirens echoed in the distance. Relief washed over them all, the reality of rescue sinking in. As the sun rose over Bayhaven, Harold reflected on everything they had uncovered. His quiet life was irreversibly changed, but in that moment, it didn't matter. They had saved lives, and there was more work to be done. Rebecca looked up at the rising sun. "Thank you, Harold, for not giving up." Harold smiled, gripping her hand gently. "We'll rebuild, all of us." The end.
As we wrap up this episode, we hope you enjoyed the captivating story brought to you by the Counting Sheep app. The power to create your own narratives is now at your fingertips, and you can explore endless possibilities with Counting Sheep, available on the iPhone App Store. Whether you're a seasoned storyteller or just starting your creative journey, this app offers a unique and engaging experience. Thank you for joining us, and don't forget to check out Counting Sheep to unleash your imagination. Until next time, happy storytelling.